Who is your daddy?
I am your father.
You fathers will understand.
My father taught me many things.
I got an idea. How about you all sit there quietly while I make dad noises?
Welcome to another week of Fathers of the Grind. It's a new episode, and we have new things to talk about. My name is Tim Nestor. This is my friend Derek Teague. Say hello, Derek.
Hello, I'm happy to be here.
Good, you said it right. That's exactly what, like, we practiced. Good.
Exactly. Pre-programmed.
That's right. It is getting close to Easter. We're recording here on Easter weekend. Our schedules got a little bit crazy with family things happening. I've got some of my wife's family in town, and so I'm actually recording at a new location here at a family's house that's quiet for once. So we kind of had to shift our schedules around a little bit, but that's okay. We're going to press on, and Derek, I know you've got some busy things happening at your home as well. So
yeah. Thanks for taking enjoying time, the spring break with my kids.
What have you guys been doing? How you spend your time over spring break?
Well, I mean, initially my plan was to spend time with them. Like, I wanted to do something special every day with the kids so they didn't feel like they were, I don't know, just laying around, even though I'm sure at least my daughter, who's a teenager, would totally be okay with that. But the other two, the boys, they wanted to do sports and be active. So, and I'll talk about it a little bit later, but I watched a lot of movies. We went to see a couple of movies this week. We played a lot of sports, went to the basketball courts multiple times. We have a couple pretty big soccer nets outside, so we have our own, like, kind of soccer field. Not, you know,
nice.
Not like a, you know, a UEFA, official UEFA, FIFA soccer field or anything like that. But we got a little soccer field with a pretty nice sized nets. So we go outside and play that as well. So I've been trying to stay active. Here's the awesome part, though. I gotta share this.
Yeah, let's hear it.
Despite all this exercise, because I've been getting my basketball skills on, I've been running hard. I'm not one of those lazy athletes. When I'm out there, I try to run over my kids. I try to hurt them, and I try to beat them. So I'm going full speed. I've gained 4 pounds this week.
That's right.
While exercising.
That's solid muscle of weight gain, right?
Yeah. Or I've just been eating, like, complete garbage every
What kind of stuff you've been eating? What kind of stuff you've been eating?
I've gone to Moe's a couple times, got my big fat burritos on.
Should I know what Moe's is? I don't think I know what Moe's is.
Oh, you don't know what Moe's is. It's kind of like a Chipotle.
Okay, but it's not Chipotle.
No. I think Chipotle is better, but Moe's is kind of like, it's kind of like a fattier version of Chipotle. Like, I can go
is
to
it
Chipotle.
Is like Qdoba? I've been to Qdoba. Is it like that?
I don't even know what a Qdoba is. It's basically a Subway, but it's Mexican food. You just ask them how to make it, or you tell them how you want to make it, and then they do it. But the thing with Moe's is they have so many fattening options, whereas Chipotle doesn't really have that as much. So I can go in there and ask for steak, rice, that's normal, cheese, right, sour cream, I get the little corn salsa, but then I throw in the Mexi ranch. I don't know what it's called. I don't know what their ranch is called, but that's pure
fat. I
think that's
it. Yeah, Mexi ranch.
And you can add queso onto your burritos and your chips. And queso,
I like to think that all the ingredients start with Moe's. Moe's ranch. Moe's chips.
Moe queso.
Moe's rice, yeah.
Yeah, so basically I ate a good amount of Moe's.
Okay.
You know, just going out to eat, spending quality time with the kids, but getting fatter while doing it.
That's the good stuff, though, man. I think even though our spring break for my family starts this coming week, I don't have the time off I can take to spend it with them, although I am going to shorten my week a little bit. I'll take Friday off, I think. But yeah, so I don't get that full break like everybody else does, but I can't really complain.
You technically can complain.
I can complain.
I'm just not going to listen to you.
Yeah, I know. I could hear you actually switching it off. I was like, he just muted me just now. But you mentioned that you've been spending a lot of time with kids. You had planned on doing some gaming and stuff, but instead of talking about what we've been playing, I know just based on seeing your posts and talking to you a little bit that you've been watching some TV, maybe even going to see some movies. So I'm going to talk about this a little bit too, but why don't you go ahead and share with us what kind of stuff have you been watching instead of gaming the last week or so?
Yeah, I think I've said it on the show before. I'm not a big television guy. I only watch certain teams for sports and stuff like that. I don't really watch shows anymore. But on March 18th, dropped one of my favorite shows, season 2 of Daredevil. So I was really excited to watch that. So with spring break and me taking the work week off, I think I knocked it out in the weekend. Like, I think I watched it, started, maybe got through episode 1 on Friday night, and then Saturday, Sunday, I think I was done with it by Sunday. Okay. I nailed out the other 12. So I got through all 13. Season 2 was, excuse me, was phenomenal. I mean, it was, I think it was better than season 1. Mm-hmm. And I rated season 1 very highly. I would have to say right now, currently standing, Daredevil, and this is, again, coming from somebody who doesn't watch a lot of shows, Daredevil is probably my favorite show right now. It's on Netflix only. Really, really well done. So I did that over the weekend. Then Monday, I took the kids to go see Zootopia, which I was really excited to see. I already wanted to see it just based off the trailers I had seen. Mm-hmm. But yep. I had also gotten a lot of feedback from people like, you got to go see it. Like, yeah. Just adults, not even other kids. Like, a yeah. lot of adults saying, it's really good. So I went and saw it. I did. I absolutely loved it. I like the fact that there's a mystery in this one. You don't know who technically the villain is as you're going through it. So I like a good mystery, even if it is a, you know, child's mystery. Really well done. Very funny. I'm a big Jason Bateman fan, so I enjoyed his voice work in the movie. So that's really good. I highly recommend that one, which I think you said you were going to go see it, or have you seen that?
We're going to see it in 1 week. So we're going to see it this coming Saturday.
In 1 week, they officially will be taking it out of the theaters.
That's right. Isn't that sad the way that works? Oh, that's too bad. Zootopia on Metacritic is just below an 80, which is surprising, but I know on Rotten Tomatoes the reviews are like, it's up in the 98-99%
of positive. Yeah, I thought it was pretty high, so that's good.
People love that movie, so yeah, that's cool. Did you see anything else?
Friday morning, I went and saw Batman vs. Superman. Now, I had been posting, and I really felt this way. I wasn't just saying it to piss off all the fanboys, but I really thought the movie was going to be total crap. Like, I even told my kids, I was like, I don't know if you guys really want to go see it. It's not reviewing real well, which I want to say this. I even though I don't really care about reviews that much in video games, I don't care at all when it comes to movies. Most reviewers, not all nowadays, thank God to YouTube, there's a lot of cool reviewers there, like Jeremy Johns, but most reviewers are a little artsy-fartsy, oh, is this Oscar-worthy? And I don't really care about that crap, so I ignore most of their opinions. So I didn't really care that it was getting bashed, but then when I watched Jeremy Johns' review, who I usually agree with him because he's kind of a laid-back, you know, if it's good, he's going to say it's good. If it sucks, he'll say it sucks. He basically said why it's not terrible or god-awful. He basically said you could enjoy it if you're drunk. And so I was like, oh, well, I don't drink at all.
That's
and
a good
I'll
review.
Be going yeah, I'll be going with my kids. So I went thinking it was gonna suck. I told everybody I thought it would suck. The reviews were backing me that it was gonna suck. And I actually enjoyed it. I kinda wanna see it again. I like the and I'm not gonna spoil anything, so nobody needs to be worried.
Yeah, I haven't seen it yet. So.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to spoil it for you anyways. But I liked the politics in the movie. I liked the story, the overall story. Some of it may have felt rushed. I know a lot of people had an issue with how quickly things happen. The movie's 2.5 hours. This isn't a show. That's one of the things that I like about shows over movies is stuff like, for instance, Daredevil can take its time.
Yeah.
And the fact that Netflix releases the entire season all together, and you don't have to wait every week, and they can go, basically, with something like Daredevil, just using it as an example, you have 13 episodes, each one are about 50 minutes, so we're just going to say it's 12 hours long. You're getting a 12-hour movie. They can flesh out characters, they can flesh out stories, they can flesh out side stories, they can flesh out anything they want, because they've got plenty of time to do it.
Yeah.
Movie's a little different. So they're trying to cram a lot into this movie because it is called Dawn of the Justice League or Dawn of Justice or whatever, letting you know it's coming, Justice League's coming. So they're trying to cram a lot of stuff in there. But they did overall. I like Zack Snyder. I think they did a good job. When I originally saw Man of Steel, and this is before I even knew who Zack Snyder was, I didn't like it. I went to the theaters and I was like, this is a garbage movie. And then I rewatched it, opened my mind up, and I was like, you know what? I kind of like how he does his movies. He's a little bit darker, so it isn't what I expected, but I was a little more prepared for this one, knowing his work, and I really enjoyed it. So
yeah, I liked Man of Steel. Superman has never been my favorite superhero, so as far as
he's
Superman
difficult
movies...
difficult to do.
Yeah, I think so too, exactly. That's why I thought Man of Steel was actually kind of interesting, and it actually gave him a dilemma at the end that left him with an impossible choice. And I liked that, but I'm not a superhero fan. Like, I don't read the comics. I watched most of the movies way back in the day, and I watched the Return, Superman Returns, whatever. That was a garbage one, even though I like Kevin Spacey. That was not a good movie. But all that being said, I thought Man of Steel was okay. So I saw all the hate about it. I was confused, but then I thought, you know what? As someone who very casually knows about Superman, I couldn't even name most of his villains, except for I remember from way back in the day everyone talked about Doomsday and General Zod, and that's about it. Like, that's all I know about. So I'm not a big Superman fan. So
yeah,
Man of Steel, I thought, was okay.
Lex Luthor.
Lex Luthor, of course, obviously. I just meant like his like superpowered villains.
Oh yeah.
But I know a lot more about Batman. So, but all those things being said, my expectations for this are, this should be kind of fun, but not. I guess just because the track record for those movies is hit or miss for DC movies in general.
Mm-hmm.
My expectations are in check, but I don't know. I
think
like...
if you go into it with decent expectations and not going into it, which I don't see how you can because of all the reviews and even people posting on our, Fathers of the Grind, some people are saying it's good. Some people said they wanted to murder Zack Snyder because it was terrible. It's hard to go into
overreaction.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think you could go into it going, well, this movie's going to be outstanding. I mean, obviously you're getting a lot of feedback that's saying otherwise. One thing I do want to Jesse Eisenberg. His role as Lex Luthor.
Yeah,
he's been getting crapped on by pretty much everybody. Now, I am also kind of like Tim, not a fanboy of Superman. I don't know a lot. I never read comics. I do like comic characters, but I never read comics. So I don't know a lot of Lex Luthor's background. I only know him from the movies back in the day, which those are so old, I don't even remember anything about him. But going into this one, I didn't like the choice of Jesse because I thought he was going to do a terrible job.
Based on the trailers you saw or just knowing him as an actor?
Both. I'm not a big fan of him as an actor. I'm not saying he's terrible, but the characters he plays are generally annoying to me. And I didn't feel like he was really changing it up.
He was pretty great in Zombieland, though. That was awesome.
He was all right. The movie was okay.
Oh, my goodness.
I didn't expect much from him. So when I went into this, I thought he was better than people are giving him credit for. I thought he played the role of a crazy, crazy, intelligent, really intelligent villain really well. So again, if you watch the movie without spoiling it, he does a good job of some trickery, and I liked it. So overall, thought it was good. So those are the two movies I saw in the theaters. I saw Zootopia, Batman vs. Superman. Liked both of them. I wouldn't mind seeing Batman vs. Superman again just to see if I actually really liked it or if I was just reacting to other people hating it so much. Who knows? So I'll give it another watch. Same thing with Man of Steel. Everybody was saying it was great. I thought it sucked. Then I watched it again. Loved it. It's one of my favorite comic book movies.
Well, kudos to you for rewatching something that you didn't like and actually giving it a chance. Because for me, that's difficult. I think for most of us, that's difficult. When you already have a bad taste in your mouth from a movie or a show, it's hard to get back into it. So I'm glad you like it.
I try to do that with everything. I mean, you'll notice I'm not really that hard on video games, even though people are making fun of me because it sounds like I hate a lot of games. But I do always give them a shot. And if I hate them right away, it's usually because it's just not my style. Same thing with movies. I try to give them a shot. Superhero movies are in the genre that I care about. I like action flicks. So, for instance, you know, I watched, what was the movie with Ryan Reynolds? Not Deadpool, but Green Lantern. I watched that, and people hated that, and I liked it. And I've watched it multiple times, and I'm like, I don't quite understand why. I mean, it's cheesy, but I don't quite understand why it's hated so much. Yeah, so
didn't like that movie.
You really didn't like that
movie?
No,
people didn't. I never saw it because of all the hate of God. I just wasn't interested. But yeah,
well, again, I'm a big Ryan Reynolds fan. While he couldn't be a Deadpool-type style character with playing Green Lantern, I still thought he did a good job. I thought the movie was decent. I mean, we don't need to do a review on it right now. But the point I'm trying to make is I generally like movies that most people hate, and then I also like the movies that most people like. I'm not that hard on movies.
Okay. All right. Well, I've been watching some TV shows, too. I haven't been able to get to the movies like you have, although I do think we might be going tomorrow, surprise date with Katie's mom being in town. But we're not going to see Batman versus Superman like I'd like. I think I got vetoed, so I'm not sure what we're watching. But I will be going to see Zootopia next weekend, that's for sure. But on the TV front, I've been able to knock out a couple of shows. I worked my way through House of Cards over the last several weeks, and I really like that show. I thought the season one was amazing and totally new. Season two was kind of an extension of that, although it started to branch a little too far into, wow, everything's working out perfectly for them. I don't know if I kind of want them to see some challenges. Mm-hmm. Season three, I fell asleep during more episodes of season three than I can count just because it wasn't as good. And now here we are, season four. For those of you who like the show, I think you'll be able to attest to this. It was much improved. It was really, really good. There were some moments that were kind of slower, but once you hit episode four or five, things start to pick up. Things get interesting. And I liked it. And of course, it's way beyond the realm of believability. In terms of how politics work and how all that backstabbing and double-crossing and blackmailing works. But it makes for a good show. Makes for a very interesting show. So I liked it a lot.
I think I got like three or four episodes in the season one and was like, I don't really like it that much.
Yeah, no, I like it a lot, though. I watched that. Kevin Spacey is brilliant, and Robin Wright is good for the most part, although at times her character is just not believable as a human being. She's more of a robotic type person. But Kevin Spacey was brilliant, and some of their other actors are great too. I'm almost finished with Daredevil, season two. So I watched season one last year, just like a lot of people did. I was very excited to see what Netflix would do with the series with this character, and I liked it a lot. I thought that the way that they portrayed Wilson Fisk was amazing with Kingpin. I really liked that a lot. And I liked the way they kind of, for the most part, that entire first season. Spoiler, if you haven't listened to season one, or watched season one, sorry, of Daredevil, skip ahead. But yeah, he wears the black outfit for most of that season. And it's just kind of that pajamas, basically. You know, it's just like an outfit that keeps him covered up and protects his identity. And it's not till the very end you see him in the official Daredevil suit. So I liked that. I liked the development. You talked about the slow burn or the buildup that a TV show can do. I thought that was great. And this season, it's no longer about him finding his identity. It's a lot more about the relationships with all these different characters. And it's written and paced and structured really, really well. Every character from Punisher, and these are not spoilers. If you watched any of the ads, you know these characters are in there. So you got Punisher and Elektra. You've got his friend Foggy and Karen from the law firm. And then there's other characters they introduce that are not at all superhero related, but they're very interesting. There's a newspaper guy who kind of works with Karen on some stuff. There's the district attorney and her assistant. And then, of course, there's some other characters they bring in that I won't reveal if you haven't watched it yet. It's really, really good. It's really, really it's just intriguing. I mean, every episode that ends, I can't wait to hit play on the next one. So I'm with you. It's much better than last season. I think that Punisher as a character is one of the most interesting characters I've seen on the show in a while.
Yeah, I love the guy who plays him. I forgot his name. But
John Bernthal was a brilliant cast for that.
Yeah, he's great.
I loved the way he played Shane in The Walking Dead seasons one and two. And as soon as I saw he was cast, I thought, he doesn't seem to have the stature you might imagine for a Punisher because he's kind of short, but he pulls it off without a doubt. Like, it's as soon as you first see him on the screen, you're like, oh, okay, he's perfect. Yeah, no problems.
Yeah, I mean, the character, I mean, he kind of plays the same type of character in The Walking Dead as he plays in as the Punisher.
He does.
He's kind of that similar. That quiet, always like rubbing his scalp, his head, like he's always thinking.
He's been hardened by the world, by stuff
that
happened to him.
Yeah, and I felt like The Walking Dead did stupid decisions with him. I found Shane to be extremely interesting, and so they made dumb decisions with him that left
totally
me
agree.
Very, very disappointed.
Totally agree.
So to see him come back and play a role like the Punisher, where he gets to act kind of the same way, but he's a far more intelligent, a better character. I really enjoyed it.
And so, it takes a couple episodes. That's what I love about it. You watch the show for two, almost 3 hours before you have any sympathy for the guy. He just comes across as super hardcore. You know he might have his reasons, but for the most part, you're like, this guy's insane. Like, he's actually nuts. And he comes off a straightforward villain. And they do a great job at filling in the gaps. And I'm in episode 12 now, so I'm almost finished with this season. But by now, like, to me, he's a full-on... a darker version of a hero. Like, I love him completely. He's awesome. So,
yeah. I like having those guys who are more gray. He's not black or white. You can't say he's an evil character. You can't say he's a good character. I like that type of character. Deadpool's the same way. That's why I loved the Deadpool movie. I like those type of characters that are like, I'm good and I'm not. I mean, you really don't know what I am.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
it's really good. You guys, I highly recommend it. Of course, we're not typically the type of show that stops and talks about movies and TV shows a lot, but a lot of that stuff, those interests do cross over into one of our favorite hobbies of gaming. Even though we're not comic book enthusiasts, as you've heard us both say, we do still enjoy comic book related characters and games. You know, we both played Arkham Knight last year.
Yep.
So we do enjoy that kind of stuff. And so I just thought it was worth bringing up and sharing what we've watched. So let me ask you this. Book adaptations. Thanks, buddy. Think about some of the adaptations that you've liked the most. So maybe think of your favorite TV show, movie, and game comic book adaptation. And I'll start with one first so you can think about it. So think about TV show, comic book, movie, or adaptations, movies, maybe it's a whole series, and then games. So okay. I'll start first. I'll say with TV show, right now, it's going to have to be. And I know it sounds a little biased because I'm just now watching it, but Daredevil has to be my favorite right now in terms of comic book adaptations. There were others that I liked, but there weren't that many. And I haven't watched stuff like Arrow, which is a show I know a lot of people like Arrow, but I haven't watched that yet. But to me, Daredevil kind of just outpaces all of them. So that's my favorite one. What about you?
The answer is going to be the same. Now, I have watched Arrow. I've watched every season except this last one, which I'll probably just Netflix it. Same thing with The Flash. I watched all season one as it was being played out, and then I believe it's only two seasons in. I may be getting confused, but I skipped season two. I think I watched like the first episode, and then I was like, I'll just watch it when it goes to Netflix. But those two are good shows, but I think they are hurt by the fact that they're not like a Netflix or even like a, if it was like an HBO series or something like that, it would help because they would be allowed to be more mature. They try to push the envelope of being more mature, but they're limited.
Yeah.
I think Daredevil is allowed to be mature. Because it can be a rated R or not rated or whatever, because Netflix doesn't care. And so I definitely hand Daredevil the award as the best.
It's interesting you bring that up, because I feel like Daredevil, it's definitely violent. I'd say about half that show is just straight up action scenes and people shooting and getting stabbed and punching each other. But I don't think it's grotesque. I don't think it's extremely gory, although it does have moments that shock you with, you know, stuff that happens. But I don't know, maybe...
Well, you know what? I would have agreed with you in season one. In fact, I was actually considering letting my kids watch it because I'm like, well, they don't really have nudity. They have like close to...
It's like PG-13 style.
Yeah, like where they're like, oh, you can kind of see the boob, but you can't see it all. Which I know my boys would be like, boobs! But, so there's not a lot of that. They do leave that out, which is great. And
yeah,
then there's not a
that.
Lot of language either. Like, I know in season one, I don't know, maybe a couple F-bombs, if even that, and then some other words. But season two, they definitely stepped up their game in both language and violence, because there was a couple scenes in season one where you're like, okay, that's a little too violent. But in season two, there's, and I know you've had to have hit that part, but there's been a couple parts where I, like, there's one in particular where the Punisher's in a jail, and I'm not going to spoil it, but I'm just saying it so Tim knows, and I was like, oh my God,
yeah,
like every 5 seconds, and my wife had walked in, and she was watching, and she's like, disgusting, and I was like, well, the show's normally not like that.
No, that's when you just go, this is what I watch, babe, this is all I want to watch.
Deal with it, dog. So yeah, it's definitely more violent this season.
It is. That's true. I was gonna say it's like a PG-13, but you know what? The violence is definitely a pretty straightforward R type rating in terms of movies. But I think the rest of it could. I mean, maybe the language. Maybe I just don't hear a lot of it.
Yeah, season two definitely more language. I do pay attention to that because again, I did want to be able to share it with my boys. I like them being able to watch comic stuff with me.
Well, yeah, and some of the moral dilemmas that are there and some of the difficult decisions are actually kind of... I'm not saying you should have discussions with your kids about everything you watch and play. Don't get me wrong. I'm just saying it actually would generate interesting conversation. Kind of like, in some ways, The Walking Dead. If you watch that with people, it's like, well, what would you do in that situation? You know, someone shows up at your camp and poses a threat, whatever. So I like that, and I think that this is one of those shows that poses these moral, like you said, gray area dilemmas. So yeah, I'm with you, but no, it's definitely not for everybody in terms of people who can't handle the strong violence. Like, my wife is not interested in watching it simply because of the violence factor, but it's so good. It's my favorite TV show comic book adaptation. And so for movies, since we both have that one the same, let me see if I can go a different route on movies. For me, my favorite comic book adaptation of a movie has to be the Nolan trilogy of Batman movies. Batman Begins, I thought, was good, but I thought that the Dark Knight was absolutely brilliant. I loved it. Loved the casting of Heath Ledger's Joker. I thought his portrayal was amazing, and just that whole storyline was really great. And then I thought Dark Knight Rises was quite good as well. Tom Hardy was the man as Bane. Wasn't as good as the second Batman film there, but I liked it a lot. So kind of as a trilogy, as one long story, really kind of very similar movies in tone just the way they're told. So I'll group those together as my favorite movie adaptations. What about you?
The Dark Knight is one of my favorite all-time movies, but I would actually replace it as far as a comic book movie or superhero movie. I would say Deadpool is my favorite right now.
A recent one.
Yeah, I really enjoyed it a lot. It's definitely complete opposite tone as a Dark Knight. Dark Knight is if I want something more serious, dark,
disturbing
in a way.
In some ways, yeah.
Yeah, you know, one of the things Nolan does a great job of is he can create a PG-13 movie while making it feel like an R movie, because there were several scenes in The Dark Knight also where I was like, oh, if he went ahead and showed everything, like he turns the camera away right at the last second.
That's right.
That's a rated R scene.
Yep.
But he shows you enough so you know what's happening. Like, oh, this is spoilers if you're really going to get spoiled over The Dark Knight. But there's a scene where Joker basically slams a guy's head into a pencil, I believe, or something like that.
That's right.
And it shows all the way up until the point where it's about ready to hit the pencil and then cuts away. But you know what happened. And he does that on several occasions. So he does a great job with those movies, making a quality PG-13 movie that's a superhero movie and keeping it dark tone and keeping it very violent while it not being very violent.
Yeah.
And then Deadpool is the opposite. It's like this crazy... breaking fourth wall, you know, it's just Deadpool as a character. Like, they nailed it. Ryan Reynolds is the ultimate Deadpool actor. There's nobody else in the world that I can think of that could go, yeah, he should have played that role. He does an amazing job of really understanding who Deadpool is. In fact, I started following Ryan Reynolds on Facebook and Twitter and all that stuff. And like the few months before the movie was releasing, he literally turned himself into Deadpool on every post. He would only post as Deadpool. So everything he would say would be like crazy, whacked out, and something Deadpool would
That's
say.
Awesome.
And so he was doing that. He was staying in character. And he does that in the movie.
He's kind of like that in real life, too. If you've ever seen Ryan Reynolds in other movies or in interviews, he's kind of that type of dude. Anyway.
That's who he is. And I've always liked him. I liked him from the very beginning where he got his start on, what was it called?
There was a movie called Van Wilder that I first saw him in.
I love that movie, hilarious. But I also like the show Two Guys, Girl, and a Pizza.
Yeah, the Pizza Place one.
Pizza Place or whatever it was called.
Mm-hmm.
So I really like him as an actor. He's probably my favorite. And then the movie is actually really good. The story they tell is pretty basic. It's kind of like, hey, this is who Deadpool is. This is how he became who he is. And the way they did it was perfect. They kept interchanging between the past and current time. And the humor was spot on. There was never a time where he said something or another character said something. And you're like, oh, awkward. This was stupid. Or it was over the top dumb. It was every single thing that they did that they were trying to get you to laugh at, you laughed at. The violence was awesome. It was over the top. The best part was, like, I can't get my wife to go see these type of movies.
She has no same one. Here.
First of all, she doesn't care about movies in general. Like,
this sounds like another topic of a show for us to cover at some point. Like,
how our wives let us down by not ever going to see our movies.
Yeah, I would have titled it something a little different, but I like the way you're thinking.
You would have titled it less offensive, I'm more offensive. But my wife never goes and sees these type of movies, so I have to go on my own, or I use my kids as an excuse, like, oh, I want quality time. But I actually, I got to see it on my own, and then last weekend, I found out my wife just took off. She's like, I'm going to hang out with one of my friends. I'm like, all right. Deuces. And then she comes back and I'm like, so what'd you do? Well, we went to dinner and we went and saw Deadpool. I'm like, what?
Oh my goodness.
What?
All right, can I just share something real quick? I gotta get this off my chest from way back in the day. This is back when Spider-Man kind of jump started my interest in superhero movies. I know there were other ones that were good, but I remember the Spider-Man movies by Sam Raimi were some of my favorites that got me back into comic book movies. And I remember the second one had come out. My wife and I were just dating at the time, and she lived a state away. And it came out that summer, and she knew how much of a nerd I was and how excited I was for this movie. And I couldn't wait to see it with her when I came to visit.
Mm-hmm.
So we were going to go see it. It had already been in the theaters for like 2 weeks. We were just going to go see it a few weeks after it came out. So I avoided going to see it with my friends. Turns out she just casually, as a non-fan, randomly one night was out with a couple of her girlfriends. They're like, hey, let's go see the new Spider-Man. She was like, all right. So she went to see it before me as someone who's not even a fan. And for some reason, and I don't know if you guys can relate to this at all, at that time, that made me so angry that I waited to see it because she wanted to watch it with me. And then she just went to see it anyway. But she's not a fan. Didn't really bother her. She's not going to tell me what happens. Oh, man. I was so angry. And I can't explain exactly why I was angry. Like, what is it that changed my experience? Nothing.
Mm.
But just knowing that she already saw it. And she's not annoying in movies. She wasn't, like, elbowing me saying, like, oh, this part's going to be good. Like, she didn't ruin it for me or anything. But anyway, I just had to get that off my chest, you guys. It's been bothering me for years. I had to just say it.
you had to get it out.
I had to release. All right, last comic book question. Which video game adaptation is your favorite? And I'll start with that one. I think I'm going to have to go with Batman themed here, I guess. I really loved Arkham Asylum. And I thought Arkham City was good, too. And I liked last year's Arkham Knight game. But I thought Arkham Asylum was absolutely brilliant. It had a great way of kind of Metroidvania setup, of having a Metroidvania setup with, you can't unlock this area to get this new tool or this new piece of equipment or gear. It kind of had some horror elements in it as well. A lot of really cool stealth things that they integrated. It finally made a Batman game a lot of fun to play. You felt like Batman for the first time. And I think a lot of games have stolen, they've taken cues at least from their combat system, from their stealth systems, and from the gadgets they introduced. I think Arkham Asylum, and it still stands up today, was probably the best video game, comic book video game that I've played. What about you?
It's going to be the same. I mean, actually, the funny thing is, before you mentioned Batman, the games, I totally forgot about them, which is crazy.
Yeah, so what came to mind before that, then?
And that's what I was going to share, is I was trying to think, and I'm like, all right, the only things I can think of is, like, the old X-Men game on the Sega Genesis. I like that one.
Oh, yeah.
And then I liked, what was the Ultimate Alliance games on the Xbox 360.
Was that kind of like a isometric view?
Yeah, like they were like, okay, an action RPG with all the characters.
Yeah, that's fun.
Those were good, but they weren't like outstanding.
Do you remember that old arcade game? It might have been the same one as the Sega one, where in the arcade they would have like multiple screens, and it looked like a really wide screen stretched out. It was an X-Men game.
Yeah, I think it's the one I was talking about. I don't remember.
It might be
the
that
name.
Same one, but I remember that they combined screens to give you like this ultra widescreen experience for that.
Yeah, that's the one I used to play in the arcades all the time, and then I also played it on the Genesis, I believe, and maybe on the Super NES as well. But I and then I came to the conclusion, I was like, the game I enjoyed the most, again before I was reminded of Batman, was actually Wolverine's Origins. I thought that was a really good superhero game. Again,
was that PS2 or was that 360?
That was 360.
I think I played that. Was it called like Unchained or Unhinged or
something like that? Because
it was a really mature game.
It was a mature game, so you could rip people to shreds. You were basically allowed to be Wolverine the way Wolverine really is.
Well, yeah, your claws actually sliced people. They weren't just like these kind of like PG-13 movie style off-screen stabs that you would see.
Yeah, so I really enjoyed that game, but the real answer would definitely be Arkham Asylum. I'd probably put all the Batman games before even that Origins game, because I really enjoyed Arkham Asylum. City was good. Origins is the only one I didn't beat. I would like to at some point go back, because I felt like it had the most interesting story, actually.
Is Origins the one that starts with you getting chased by Croc in the sewer? Is that the one where he's like busting up through the boards as you're running across?
That is a boss fight in Asylum, where you're in the sewers and you're on boards and you're being chased.
Well, then Origin is completely out of my memory then. I know. Yeah. I played it. I can't remember.
I didn't beat Origins, but I got pretty far.
Okay.
And then I really enjoyed Arkham Knight.
Here's a random comic book one. What about the Lego Marvel superhero game? Would that at all rank, at least in consideration, for ones that you've liked?
Like it, but I don't like Lego games in general. I liked it more because my son and I were just unlocking characters, but I wasn't actually having fun playing the game.
I thought it was very funny and fun. You get to be all the different characters. And of course, when you get down to it, there's really only a handful of game mechanics that they have in that game, but they do a pretty good job of making you feel like you are certain, especially Iron Man and Hulk. You really feel like those guys, but... All right, well, let's talk about, since we talked about movies and TV shows a lot, and that's not really a topic that we normally cover, or probably normally will cover in a lot of shows, but it kind of hits home with our main topic discussion for this episode, and that is video game burnout. So when we hit that wall of when video games aren't doing it for me anymore, Burnout is a good game. Video games aren't doing it for me right now. Like, I turn on the system, I look at my game selection, I just don't want to play anything. And then you just turn on the DVD or Netflix, or just turn on the TV and channel surf instead. And that's just what you want to do instead. And you go through this phase of video games just aren't doing it for me. And so this TV show and movie discussion kind of comes into play a little bit because... And I don't know if you're going through this right now at all, Derek, but I know that when these TV shows, especially with Netflix, the way they're structured, when they come out and then you get hooked on a show and you start binging it, they start to take precedence over some things that we really like doing, like playing a video game, for example. So can you think of a time that you felt just kind of tired of gaming? You were kind of burnt out from gaming.
I go through like many stages where like you said, I'll log in with the intent of playing something, and then I'll stare at all my games, and I'm like, I don't really want to do that. I'm kind of going through that now, but here's the thing. This is what's weird. This is probably why I like Destiny and Rocket League so much, is there really good fillers for those times where I feel burnout? So instead of doing what I would have done in the past when I felt burnout, where I didn't feel like taking on the task of a big open world game or just even a story-driven game that might be kind of difficult or makes me think. Again, you guys know I don't like to think. So when I'm not in the mood for that stuff, what I would have done in the past is go to a show or, you know, watch sports more, something like that. Whereas okay. now, Rocket League and Destiny have replaced that. Where, like, I'll just use an example, story time, boring story. This week, my plan was to, with the whole week off, was I had three big games that I wanted to knock out at least two of them. And, okay. and in my opinion, two of them was a reasonable opportunity. Like, I should have been able to achieve it. A goal, I should say. A reasonable goal that I should have been able to achieve. And those three okay. games were, I wanted to finish Fallout 4, because I had already gotten to the point, and I shared this on the last show, where I'd basically hit the big plot twist or whatever. So I was nearing the end as far as I know. And I could be wrong, but I'm pretty sure I'm at the end. The other one was Far Cry Primal, which is not really that long of a game for a Far Cry game. I could probably beat it in anywhere from 15 to 20 hours. Mm-hmm. And then the last one, the one that I didn't believe I would beat, but I wanted to at least like dive deeper into it, was Zelda Twilight Princess. The Legend of Zelda mm-hmm. Twilight Princess. Here's what I've basically accomplished in my huge week of gaming. I got about 30 minutes into Twilight Princess, deeper than I was before. I didn't touch Fallout 4 at all, and I got like 3 hours into Far Cry Primal, because I had no desire to play games. And yeah. the only games that I was playing, going back to my whole point, I'm sorry for derailing like I always do, but I was playing a lot of Rocket League. I've played a lot of Rocket League. I've gotten back into Destiny. I even made a post on it, and I think it was in Fathers of the Grind page. I basically said, I've got this itch for Destiny again. And that's a good feeling, because I was kind of getting sick of it. But now
I'm going to talk to you about that. We don't want to keep hearing about your itches. It's getting a little
I have serious
too much. You've
got
to stop telling us about your itches.
Especially since I have no cure for it. But yeah, I've been enjoying Destiny. I even played some today before we recorded. I've been jumping in, playing a lot of story missions, doing strikes and stuff like that. So I've been enjoying that a lot. And then my hope is to get back into The Division. But those games, the reason why I talked about them as far as burnouts, is I don't really experience burnouts anymore, because I'm replacing them with games that there is no end story. There is no, even though there is technically a story, nobody cares about it. Nobody plays The Division to see how it concludes. Nobody plays Destiny to see how it concludes. And there is no plot twist in Rocket League. Sorry, guys. You're not going to hit an end boss that reveals that he's really your father. But, so those games are like great fillers. Like, I'll just log in and be like, I don't feel like playing Far Cry Primal because I don't want to think or I don't want to do any of the missions that they want me to do. I just want to play a quick game that I'm good at. Boom, let's play Destiny. Boom, let's play Rocket League. So
yeah, that's interesting, because, I mean, my thought on this, when I think of video game burnout, is I can think of actual times that no game, regardless of the quick fix or maybe even casual type, you know, that was fun for an hour type feeling that it might provide, it doesn't really matter. Like, if I don't feel like playing a game, then I just, that whole hobby kind of can be sidelined. And I can think of some times in my life that has happened. And usually you can point to some kind of event. So I can remember back in, you know, late high school, going into early college, where I played less and less because I was actually working for, you know, 25, 30 hours a week as an 18, 19 year old, going to school at high school. And then, of course, moving into college, I continued to work. And so that ended up kind of derailing most of my gaming time. A lot of that was relegated to I had some emulators on my PC at school, but, you know, I didn't play those a lot. And then one of my friends, I think I talked about this before, he had a Dreamcast in his dorm room, and I would go to his room and we'd play a little bit, but otherwise I didn't play a ton then. And then I got back into it. That's when I first started diving into MMOs, was during college days. And then I took a break again when I got married. I've been married now for 11 years. And so when we got married in 2004, I stopped playing for a little while. And it took me probably almost a year into our marriage when all of a sudden I picked up a PS2 and started playing Final Fantasy X, and that brought me right back. So that kind of brings me to a question I wanted to ask you, and that is, when you do kind of take a break, even if that break includes some other games, not casual games, but some quick fix games that you don't really feel like you need to commit to, what kind of games have brought you back and got you hooked again that you do end up committing to? And so for me, the first one that I would bring up is Final Fantasy X. And that became the game. That's all I wanted to play. Played it for months and months. Did everything. If there were trophies back then, I would have gotten all of them. So played that game a ton. I loved Final Fantasy X. And that was, 10, 11 years ago. I haven't played it since then. But yeah, so that's one that brought me back. What about you? Are there any that have kind of, quote unquote, brought you back and hooked you again?
I would say Final Fantasy X is actually a great answer because I wasn't a JRPG gamer at that point, and we had just had Emily, our first child, and my friend at work was like, "You should check out Final Fantasy X." And I'm like, "I hated Final Fantasy VII, you know, because of we already went through that story because I didn't understand the combat and all that stuff." He's like, "Yo, you gotta try it." So I tried it, and Final Fantasy X is one of those games where, and this is probably why it's my favorite Final Fantasy, it's one of those games that I think really woke me up to gaming again, because I did go through a phase where I wasn't gaming really at all, and maybe the only thing I was probably playing at that time was sports games, and it opened me up to an entirely different genre, a more difficult game.
That's awesome.
In my opinion, and so I actually got addicted to that game and probably sunk 100 hours into it.
Yeah. And do you like actually, that Blitzball, or was that not your thing?
I didn't care about Blitzball.
Oh, okay, that's fair.
I still don't care about Blitzball.
It does not hold up, by the way. Blitzball, back in the day, I thought, yeah, this is fine as a side game. It's not. It does not hold up well. Anyway,
no,
continue.
It was a little confusing back then for me. And then when I was replaying Final Fantasy X with the remaster, I understood Blitzball a little bit better than I did, 15? Well, that was when my daughter
it
was
came
born,
out
so
in 2001, I think.
Ago.
So, yeah.
So, I played it probably 12 years ago because it was when she was born.
Yeah.
Okay. Or around that time. And, I still thought it was pretty crappy, but I understood it, so I could actually win games. Whereas before, I was like, why do I keep losing? I don't understand.
Makes a difference.
Yeah. So, I think that game is one of them that kind of, I don't know if I could say it got me out of a burnout, but it took me from maybe just playing the same thing over those casual games, maybe those Rocket League type games, and getting me into more story driven, strategic games like an RPG like that. And
sure,
yeah. So that's one of them. There's some others, but I'll let you talk.
Yeah. So I kind of had the same thing after our twins were born. So I got back into games, and really it was back into console games because I went through a little bit of a PC kick and played a lot of like EverQuest and stuff like that, a lot of MMOs, and then got into some RTS games. That's when I first started getting into city builders and real-time strategy stuff. And then I came back to consoles with the PS2. I bought it, maybe three years into its release. So I bought it when it had a ton of games in its library ready to play. And that was cool because I sold my PS1 and all my PS1 games worked on the PS2. I loved that. So I had this new system, new games, including Final Fantasy X, and I loved it. And that brought me back to console games. And then around 2000, I want to say probably 2008 or 2009, I started slowing down on gaming again, started getting back into making music. We had just had our first son, and then we adopted in 2010. And so life was picking up speed, and I backed off on gaming a bit. And then in 2011, this is a really weird timing. We had two boys already, and then we had twins in 2011. So now we got four boys, four young boys. Our oldest was four. I mean, that's absolutely insane. And that's when I decided it's time to get back into gaming. There's something wrong with me. And so, but I remember those late nights with those twins. It's about the same time I started watching Game of Thrones. So I was getting into a new TV show. When I finished that show, and I was kind of reading the books on and off, and then I got into this game that I'd heard about. They said I heard it was the same developers as Grand Theft Auto, but it's set in the Old West. It's called Red Dead Redemption. And I was like, yeah, wasn't there a game on that series before? Yeah, there was. Don't worry about that. Just play this one.
Yeah.
And I fired up Red Dead Redemption, and all of a sudden my passion and love for games was instantly rekindled. Like, that world came alive for me. I loved the characters. I thought John Marston was a brilliantly realized character, the same type of guy you'd see on a Western TV show or movie. And I loved it. It was very dark and grim, and it wasn't exciting. The characters weren't, like, flamboyant, but they were believable. And I loved that world they created, the way you could just wander around and go hunting and explore and find treasure. It was just so good. And so I remember that one specifically bringing me right back in. And I caught up on a bunch of games after that. So I finished that game, but I wasn't done. And so I remember playing through a whole bunch of games that I had missed. And there was one other time, just a few years ago here, when I took a new job and we had a major move in 2013. And so, again, I backed off on gaming for a while. And then about 2 years ago, a little less than 2 years ago, I picked up Assassin's Creed 4 Black Flag. It had been out for 5 or 6 months. It went on sale, a deep discount sale. And so I grabbed it with my love of Assassin's Creed and my interest in all things pirate-related. I grabbed it, and it brought me right back to, and I don't think I've really slowed down since then. I mean, it's been almost 2 years straight now of just game after game after game, whenever I'm able to, at least.
I don't think you'll ever be able to slow down, because you're now friends with me, and I will force you to play games.
Well, and a lot of the times that I took a break from games, it's like you complete what's on your shelf. And that's kind of interesting now. Like, that's not really a thing anymore. Even for those of us with limited budgets, even if you don't game share, yeah, there's so much access to games, whether it's free to play.
There's just so many cheap games, too, and free games. Cheap.
And even the ones that are $60, you can count, unless it's a Nintendo game or some kind of crazy, huge, massive hit, you can count on it hitting a deep discount within a few short months or at least a year.
And I'm not going to dive deep into it, but note this, that's definitely a topic we could hit on is, I see so many people, and I understand most of them are young, not all of them, some of them are older and they should know better, that complain about pricing of games and developers and publishers raping us with microtransactions.
It's a ridiculous complaint.
And they forget that games used to be $70-$80 a pop. They had no way of fixing them, so if they were broke, you were stuck with that thing. I wasn't able to resell most of the games I bought that I hated. Or trade them in or anything like that. It was a totally different era, and there wasn't as many games releasing. So you only had like maybe one or two games a year coming out that you were like, I gotta have this.
Yep.
And it was like $80. Now if I'm like, oh, it's been 1 week, I haven't bought a game. What's on sale? Oh, they've got this game for $5? I'll get it. I'll give it a
shot. We're almost finished with 25% of this of 2016. We're almost at that first quarter mark, and there have already been a ton of games that not only have between the two of us and many others purchased, but that we've played or that are already in our backlog, we've purchased and are now in our backlog. There's too much stuff to play. That was never an issue 5, 10, 15 years ago.
No.
And so that I think that can be part of it. It's really weird to think about the psychology behind a lot of this, and that is part of it is there was something healthy about the time between major games back in the day, because that kind of forced me to, okay, now how will I spend my free time or my entertainment time? And so I did kind of have to jump between other hobbies. And on the other side, now sometimes we're so inundated and almost overwhelmed with game options, what's out there, what's available. It's also easy to be like, yeah, I've got 12 games I could choose from. It's kind of hard to pick. Maybe I'll just go do something else. Like that weird psychology behind too many games available. And it's the same thing with Netflix. If you go on Netflix and start cycling through all the movies and shows you might want to watch, and if you include Hulu and Amazon Prime and other services into that, next thing you know, you're like, yeah, I don't know if I want to watch anything. Like, I don't know about you. My wife and I have spent over an hour on more than one night just trying to pick something to watch because there are so many options.
Yeah.
And we get too tired eventually from cycling through our choices. And we're like, yeah, let's just go to bed, you know?
Well, when I was younger, I used to collect cards. And my goal was, like, if I had a favorite player, I'll use the example. Chris Webber was my favorite player. My goal was to get every single Chris Webber card. And for a while, I was able to accomplish that because there was, at that time, since I'm using Weber as an example, there was probably like 4 to 5 main, like, big time card companies that would release cards. And then they had their little sub off cards, you know, like, you know, Upper Deck would have something else. I'm forgetting their names now, but like, they would have their little sub cards.
Yep.
It then got so big. that every year they would release new Weber cards, there would be like 50 to 60, maybe hundreds different Weber cards for just 1 year. And I'm like, I can't afford this. This is impossible. I can't do this anymore.
By the way, speaking of cards, did you get the Beckett magazine to see how much your cards are worth?
Yeah, I memorized that thing. My brother used to make fun of me because he'd be like, how much is this card worth? And I wouldn't even look. I would just be like, oh, it's $1.25. It went up 25 cents.
I loved that Beckett magazine.
Yeah, I lived and breathed that thing. But the point I'm trying to make is it got to the point where there were so many options. There were so many cards. It actually devalued a lot of them. And it got to the point where I just jumped out of it completely.
Well, and it didn't just devalue them monetarily. It devalued them to you, too. Like, the fun of collecting and then realizing... Now, it kind of takes the specialness out of that thing you collected. And I think that can happen with games, and we're kind of veering into a different topic here, but that can be a cause of burnout. Like, even right now, I wouldn't say I'm in a video game burnout, but I just finished a massive open game, Far Cry Primal. And I was coming off of a few other big games, like Uncharted, and I came off of Witcher 3 and Metal Gear Solid 5, and just kind of flying through these big games. And now that I just finished Far Cry Primal... I haven't jumped into full-fledged another game yet. Like you said, I've played some of The Division, which is just jump in, do some missions, team up or not, whatever, and then get back out. Been playing some Rocket League. But other than that, I haven't really taken time to dive into something else. I played some Hitman Go. But I wouldn't call it a burnout, but right now I'm definitely kind of letting off the gas a little bit on diving into or committing to, quote-unquote committing to, a game.
Mm-hmm.
So that makes me actually kind of curious to hear from people in our group. So, and I think we should, when we put this episode up, guys, we'll put up a post about this, and Derek, help me remember to do this. You just do it if I forget.
Nope.
Yes, you must. But let's put up a post, and I want to hear from you guys. When have you had times that you've maybe just like kind of like I am now, you've let off the gas a little bit in terms of diving into games? You'll play if others play. Maybe you'll do a few little casual connections here or there with, with Division or with Rocket League or something like that. Maybe even just on your phone. You'll just pull out the phone and play some kind of match three game, and that's your fix for a little while. Or maybe you've just flat out cold turkey quit gaming for a while. And why is that? What caused that? Are you doing that right now? And what brought you back? Like, is there something that says, you know what, now I want to get back into gaming and this is why? And I'm curious to hear from you guys because we do have a wide variety of people in our group with lots of different home setups and where they're from. We got people from all over the world that are part of the group. And I'd be very interested to hear what you guys think about that.
Yeah, I definitely like to, you know, have some material to help me fall asleep at night. So please share.
All right. Well, Derek, that should do it for us this week. We are going to be spending some time in our next episode talking more about news, and we'll talk a little bit more about what we are playing, because I think as you get back into the regular swing of things with work and things like that, who knows, you might find yourself with, for whatever reason, more time to actually play games now that you're done with Daredevil 2. So we'll talk more about what we're playing next week, as well as there's been some news, not a ton. So we're going to skip out on news for this time around, and we will tackle a bunch of headlines next time we chat. So, Derek, let's go ahead and close things out with the best wisdom you could give us for this. And it doesn't have to be Easter related. We are here at Easter weekend. Maybe something for the spring, the change of seasons. You know what? I don't want to put words in your mouth.
No.
Hit us with something.
When I think of the Easter season, I think of love. And love is like a dove. And doves can soar. And soar rhymes with whore. So what I'm trying to tell you guys is be a whore. Be a whore. That's it. That's all.
Classic Easter message. Thanks, buddy. That's...
Love is a dove.
All right. On behalf of all humans, I apologize, everybody. I don't know what to say.
It's okay. Nobody listens to this part of the show, I could literally say that I hate all our listeners, and I wish they would just go away, and none of them would even know Derek said that.
So. Guys, Derek will give you $50 to unsubscribe. Just hit him up. Take a screenshot of you clicking unsubscribe, and he'll pay you money. All right, thanks for listening, you guys. Take care.
Who is your daddy?
I am the father.
You fathers will understand.
My father taught me many things.
I got an idea. How about you all sit there quietly while I make dad noises?